So it's not that the problems get bigger or get less. It's like you have to remain relentless and undaunted and roll with the problems.
I am unwilling to give up, that I will start over from scratch as many times as it takes to get where I want to be.
You just want to make sure you will get knocked down, but just make sure you don't get knocked out.
So your only choice should be go focus on what you can control.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Kara Golden Show. Join me each week for inspiring conversations with some of the world's greatest leaders. We'll talk with founders, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and really some of the most interesting people of our time. Can't wait to get started. Let's go. Hi, everyone. It's Kara Golden from The Kara Golden Show, and I'm super excited to have my next guest here. Very excited to have Sarah Happ, who is the CEO of the most incredible scrubs, lip scrubs initially, but so much more, I think, is probably coming on the horizon, I have a feeling. So Sarah is the founder and CEO of Sarah Happ, and she is just amazing, lives in Manhattan Beach. So she's a California girl as well. And she has just created, like I said, these products. It was her own desire to find a product like this. Sound familiar? Where she just decided, I'm just going to go and do this. It's super, super great. So her journey began while she was working, also very familiar, in an entirely different industry, as a programming manager at ESPN. Mm-hmm. And she started experimenting with lip products. So we're going to get more of the backstory on that for sure. And like hint, she is in her 16th year at Sarah Happ. And she's continued to have incredible celebrities as well, that have like loved her product, including Katie Holmes, Kate Hudson, and also lots and lots of other people. So welcome, Sarah. Very excited to have you here.
Hey, Kara. I am a fan. You keep me hydrated. You know this, and hi, everyone. Hi, listeners. Hi, viewers. But Kara knows this. I am not a water drinker. I don't like the taste of water. I like the taste of water with a berry in it. Enter Hint with pineapple
in it.
And blackberries in it and cherries in it. And we drink Hint by the case. Thank you for keeping me hydrated.
Thank you for the shout out. That is really, really great. And by the way, if you have some of your scrubs and then you have some Hint, you'll still like lick them. And it's all great together. There's like combos in our future, I think, of some sort.
So, I think there are definitely combos. Yes.
So Sarah, where did, like, who was little Sarah?
Little Sarah was a girl who had big lips and always felt self-conscious about them, and very quickly took to Bonnie Bell lip smackers because
I remember those.
Right? Wow. The strawberry one, Kara. So I was a little girl, and I can remember the first thing I ever bought with my own money was a strawberry lip smacker from the drugstore, because I wanted my lips to be hydrated. And I remember bringing it to Catholic school, Kara, and them saying, you can't have makeup. And I was like, this isn't my makeup. This is like medicine.
Yeah.
I need this. So that was little Sarah. And I was also someone who was not a great rule follower. I wasn't, which I think maybe was an indicator of like entrepreneurship. I just never really thought inside the box. I wanted to do my own thing. I just kind of felt like, why would we do it that way when we could do it this way? That didn't go over great in lots of years of Catholic school. But that's sort of, I was this little wild spirit. And I was also really into makeup. And I have a hippie mom and a hippie dad who like raised me without, you know, any sort of outside influence in terms of like makeup or hair or whatever. But I was really into that stuff. From, I mean, gosh, like 3 or 4 years old, I wanted makeup and I wanted to perm my hair and all this stuff. And my mom wonderfully and my dad let me like dive into that. They were like, well, we don't do that, but we'll take you, I guess, to the store and you can buy makeup. Yeah. So I was just always really into it. And I, you know, yeah.
So you graduated from college and you decided to go into, was ESPN your first spot?
ESPN was my first job out of college. Yeah. I had a degree in broadcast journalism from USC, which I loved and I was super proud of. And I took a job with ESPN in 2002. And I'll tell you, Kara, again, it's a wonderful company. It's a giant company. It is a bureaucracy though. And I didn't function well in that. I didn't understand why I had to go to like 6 hours of meetings and then go do my job and then not book a dentist appointment. You know, there were just all these things that didn't make sense to me, or our approach to certain things was just very kind of like, this is the way we do it. And I felt like I was always coming up against resistance. And it was frustrating. So I loved my job. It was marketing. But here's the deal. I say that I was inspired by how uninspired I was, because all my coworkers would go home at night and they would consume all of our media. They would watch 4 different monitors in their homes with SportsCenter in every game. And then they would, you know, be reading ESPN, the magazine, and then they'd be watching our interviews, and they were just obsessed with our product, which was amazing. And it really is a company of sports geniuses. I was not that. I was a journalist and a marketer. And so I would go home, Kara, and I would take bubble baths and I would make my own scrubs, and I would read every magazine out there, from like Oprah to Real Simple to Vanity Fair to Allure. And I would just sit in the bathtub for 5 hours at night, you know, while other people were watching TV. I still do that today. So I realized I was inspired by how uninspired I was. And I was like, wait a minute, you can get paid for what you love.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And find that thing that you really enjoy doing every single day. I was just chatting with a friend of mine who has worked for a lot of entrepreneurs, but has never been an entrepreneur herself.
Yeah.
And she talked to me about it, her idea. And I said, you know, the number one question is, do you want to get up every single morning and do that?
Every single day.
And that's what you have to figure out. And only you can answer that. And so I think that you're such a great example of this. It's not that you can't do other things. That's not who an entrepreneur is.
Right.
It's that you have this idea and this curiosity, and you have an idea, and oftentimes you want to solve a problem, as you did. You thought, well, if I just get this in the market, I mean, people hopefully will like it. And obviously they did. So you started Sarah Happ in 2005. So for those who are not familiar with it, talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I kept reading in my magazine, Bubble Bath Time. I kept reading beauty editors write that you should exfoliate your lips, so like remove dead skin, with a baby toothbrush. And at the time I did not have kids, so I did not even know baby toothbrushes existed, or scrub your lips with a washcloth. And I was like, we can do better than that. I have a scrub for every part of my body. Why wouldn't I have a scrub for my lips? Googled it in 2005. There were no results. I still have the printout. Google returned 0 results for the words lip scrub. And I got this fire in my belly, Kara. And you write about that in Undaunted. Everyone should read Kara's book, Undaunted. Shameless plug for the book that changed my brain. Anyway, you write about this. I had a fire in my belly that was so strong. I remember sitting at my computer and being like, oh my gosh, this doesn't exist. I can't go to Nordstrom and buy this. I can't go to Sephora and buy this. I'm going to make this in my kitchen. And if you know me, I have a takeout salad right now sitting on my desk. I don't cook. I kind of bake. Went to my kitchen though, and I was like, I can make this. I want it to be sugar and essential oils. I want it to taste really great. And I want my lips to be baby smooth when it's all over with, the same way the rest of my body is when I use any other scrub. So I went to my kitchen, Kara, and I made it myself.
What were the steps in your head? So you had this idea.
Yeah.
And you said, I'm going to go and do it. I mean, where did you start?
Yeah. So I went to, I lived on the East Coast. I lived in New Haven, Connecticut at the time, and for my ESPN job. And I went to like Whole Foods and Stop and Shop, and I bought like McCormick extract. I remember spending like $300 on like sugar and extracts and different oil, coconut oil, which you're allergic to, but you know, a lot of different oils to figure out what this would be. And I just sat there for probably 2 weeks and measured tablespoons, teaspoons, a hint of this, or whatever of that. And I wrote down, I had 6, when it was all said and done after 2 weeks, I had 6 lip scrubs that were ombre from like cocoa, which used Hershey's cocoa powder, like a really rich brown, all the way down to peppermint, which was bright white and used McCormick extract peppermint. And Kara, I was using these every single day. They tasted so good. I was obsessed. My lips were like sick. And people at work were like, what did you do to your lips? And I was like, nothing. And I was like, I'm going to take this to market because I'm obsessed with this. So I have to imagine other people will be.
That's amazing. And then, so you put it together. Did you literally do it in your kitchen or did you find somebody to pack it?
No,
or
what? In my kitchen. I mean, literally my kitchen. I ordered hair nets. I had this loft in New Haven and I turned the entire loft into a production center. So it was all in these giant Tupperwares. My parents bought me this like super cool KitchenAid mixer. And I was just making the stuff every day by myself. And I was importing boxes and tying ribbons and I was getting labels printed like in downtown New Haven with like the flavors on them. I was doing, and I was having friends come in from like New York to like help me make the stuff. And I would pay them in cupcakes because I had no money. So my house always smelled like cupcakes and I was making lip scrub 24/7 while I wasn't doing, like when I wasn't at work, I was home making lip scrub. And I did it quietly and I did it completely outside of my work time. It was like a hobby, the way some people bake. But the real, you alluded to this at the beginning, where it became an actual business where I could have a lab make it was, well, first of all, so I took the product out to 5 indie boutiques, female owned indie boutiques in 2005 here in LA, where I went to college at USC. Indie boutiques. And I said to these female owners, hey, I loved your store when I was at USC 3 years ago. No, like 6 years ago. Sorry, excuse my math. Will you just try my product? I know you don't have anything like it. And all 5 of them like wrote me a check and I put it in my back pocket and I left like, oh my God, like they just bought my bake sale item, you know?
Yeah.
And then what I did was I made a deal with each owner and I was like, hey, if a reputable celebrity comes in, say this is a gift from you and from me and give them whatever they want for free. And I will pay you back double. And they were all like, you'll send me double? And I was like, yes. And I was still making it home, Kara. And then the next step, once it was in stores, was going out to labs up and down the East Coast and asking all of these people to please help me make this lip scrub. I was like, listen, this is going to blow up. I'm making it in 5-pound batches and 10-pound batches right now. We're going to be making like thousands and thousands of units. And they're all like, we don't even have the equipment for that. And we've never heard of that. So why would we do that? And we make it for, you know, all these giant companies, for Mac and for Lauder and for all of these giant companies. Why would we make you a lip scrub? We've never even heard of it. And I'm like, exactly. It's white space. It's a hole in the market. Let's fill it. Finally, you and I talked about this offline a little bit ago, but finally the wife of one of the lab owners, I said, take it home to your wife. See if she likes it. He came back on Monday and he called me and he said, my wife loved it this weekend. All of her girlfriends who were over loved it. I guess I have to figure out how to make this. So then I began having a lab in New Jersey make it.
That is wild.
Yeah.
And what was your first store that you started selling beyond the smaller stores? And so did you really start in USC or where was kind of like that? Where were your first stores?
Okay. So my first indie boutique was called The Beauty Closet. It was on Ventura Boulevard in Studio City long before that was cool. And today the woman who owned that store now runs all my sales. So she works for me now. Her name is Shannon Stuber and she is my heart and soul. I love her more than anything.
Oh, I love
it. She was the first person and we got it into Reese Witherspoon's hands and that got me in half a page in People magazine in 2006. My website crashed, all the sales came in. And then not that long after, Marla Beck of Blue Mercury called, who, you know her, we both love her.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when she calls, that's a really good day. And so we went from, you know, 400 indies in the US to every Blue Mercury in like, I don't know, 2008 or something like that.
That's amazing.
So yeah. That's yeah. Really Shannon great. Has been with me for 16 years now. First store to carry me, first store to get me press. Now she runs all the sales.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And so, so you continue to grow the Sarah Happ, you know, distribution. And then you're also available, as we've talked about, on your website as well, that you can go on to the website. What is the most surprising thing about starting your own company that you didn't realize going in?
Okay. So as per your book, Undaunted, the deal is like, I kept thinking for years, Kara, that the next step would be like the answer, right? Mm-hmm. Like if we could just get into Blue Mercury, we did get into Blue Mercury. Now, if we could just get into Nordstrom, we did get into Nordstrom. Now, if we could just get someone like Jen Garner to use the product, well, she did. The deal is everything is difficult, right? As an entrepreneur, like you, I know what you did in COVID to keep hint, right?
Yeah.
Everything is difficult, whether you are a $200,000 company or an $85 million company that's going to sell for billions. Everything is hard and you have to remain undaunted and there is no one answer. So mm-hmm. it's not, so the more you grow, the more complex your problems. So it's not that the problems get bigger or get less. It's like you have to remain relentless and undaunted and roll with the problems. I had to get better at rolling with the problems and I had to realize one new retailer isn't going to make everything the answer. That's not the answer. You know, one new advisor isn't going to be the answer. So it's just remaining relentless and unstoppable. And like you said, showing up to work every day with grit and passion. Yeah.
Yeah. No. And I think that's so important. And really treating it like, I think, a puzzle, right? That there's not an end. Right? That you just have to keep adding on to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get over these hurdles. Like that's the way that I view all these, you know, getting Jen Garner to use your product, getting into Nordstrom, all of these things.
Yeah.
You set up the hurdle, but then you will achieve those things eventually. And then you keep going though. And you keep finding those new hurdles. You keep setting them up for yourself. I think that those are the best entrepreneurs, that the ones that just, I mean, it is about being relentless and undaunted and all of those things, but it's also somebody who's curious enough and who is constantly seeking, you know, these challenges. And and I think that there's this, no matter what industry you're in, I think that that's the consistent thing. And that's why you have to love what you're doing, because otherwise you don't have a curiosity to go and hit, you know, find new hurdles. You're just like, I'm done. I've talked to more entrepreneurs who, especially in the food space, who, you know, sold their company. And I, you know, give them a call and talk to them. Some of them were, you know, I was really surprised because I thought that there was a lot more growth for them. And I was curious, like, why they would sell.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, the answer was, I just wasn't passionate about it anymore. And I think like that is like, and that is like a fair answer and an important answer, because you have to, it is hard every day, like the struggle, you know, and I think you have to really like what you're doing. And that is the trick to being able to weather these storms that you hit.
Cause you're always going to hit storms, right? No matter how big you are or how cool it appears or whatever deal you sign, you're always going to hit the storms. And yes, you better love it. Cause if you don't love it, I almost look at it, Kara, we both have kids. I almost look at it as a child. You're going to go through highs and lows with your child. At the end of the day, you love them so much that you're going to weather it and you're going to grow together, right? Like you're not going to give up. And so it's like a living, breathing thing. You have to keep nurturing it. And it is. So I think that is what has kept me curious and going, is like, there are always problems to solve. And so what you did with Hint was like, you're breaking the norm, right? You're saying, okay, we don't need to be addicted to sugary sodas, or we don't need to be addicted to juice, or all the things that people are putting into their bodies that, like, we now know with children, and every pediatrician is like, whatever you do, do not give your kids these things. So you're busting the doors off of that. For me, it was, I'm going to bust the doors off the fact that like lip products are empirically dehydrating, and I'm going to put out products that don't addict you, but that you become obsessed with.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. So you mentioned you have kids. How many kids do you have?
I have one, Julia. And
who I met.
Who you met. She's a huge fan of Kara's, to the point where she thinks it's cool to dump hint, water on your head. And I'm like, I get it that it smells good, but like, let's not dump hint water on our heads. Anyway, we're a big hint household. Julia
she
is
probably
seven.
Saw the commercial that we did. We had a commercial that it's raining watermelon.
Are you kidding me? She probably did.
Yeah, she probably saw the commercial running, and it has a big cloud over someone's head, and they're sticking their tongue out, and it's raining watermelon, and people are screaming, "Watermelon, watermelon!"
That's so genius.
She probably did. Speaking of campaigns, I keep thinking about, you know, now that we are going maskless, and I mean, people have not really been focusing on their mouth. I think there's a huge campaign for you guys around that.
Oh, Kara, it's so crazy. Yeah, we, you know, in a company, we're small, right? I own the whole company. Julia is our largest shareholder. She owns 10%. So we get to make our own decisions. With that, though, comes the burden of knowing that every decision is on you. So in 2020, obviously, it was a very hard year for many people. And luckily, we did not lose our jobs and we stayed in business. But essentially, lips were canceled, right? Like, it was a government mandate to cover your mouth. And so we had planned for a lot of problems. We planned for the worst. We went through 2008, 2009, when we went through a near, you know, recession. We did great those years. And a lot of people think that lips are untouchable. There's this thing called the lipstick index, where it's like, in times of economic distress, lips do well, because you might not be able to buy your Chanel handbag, but you can buy your Chanel lipstick. Well, it's tough when your lips are covered. So we weathered the storm in 2020. It was not easy. We did it though. And now the amount of demand for our colors, which are not really even my focus. My focus is our lip scrubs and our lip slips and our overnight, our dream slip mask and skincare. The demand for anything that we make in color is ridiculous. I think people are like screaming for color. So yeah, I was just on a production call this morning, and it changed the whole trajectory of what we're doing for the next 18 months.
That's so great.
Yeah.
I love hearing that. That's so great.
Yeah.
So what do you think? I mean, what did the last year and a half, I call it 17 months of, what did it teach you?
Oh man.
Like, as a business owner, I mean, obviously, you know, you started 16 years ago, you've, you know, managed during the financial crisis, you've, you know, as you mentioned earlier, you managed through a divorce. I mean, like, you've had, you know, lots of things that you have managed. What was kind of the key things that you learned about maybe yourself and about the company and you know, a pandemic?
Yeah. So I struggle with anxiety and depression. Those are my two sort of things. That's my jam. And as an entrepreneur, that's tough, because, you know, every day we're riding
really
highs
hard
and lows, right? Like, you can get the coolest press one day and then also find out that your labels were printed wrong. You know, like, the coolest stuff can happen all within the course of a half an hour. Or the worst stuff. So what COVID taught me, though, with anxiety and depression and with the divorce that I had that you mentioned, I kind of have always just released control of stuff. Like, listen, I don't really have the answer. Right? Like, I thought I was controlling my marriage really well. I thought I was controlling my life really well. As an entrepreneur or as a CEO, you think you can control all the things. No, you can't. I learned that through my divorce 6 years ago. And COVID almost felt normal to me. Like, I was like, oh, everyone else is joining the I can't control it party. Or I'm kind of a hot mess sometimes. That's okay to be that. That's what I think I learned about, like, people, and that was helpful for me. What I learned about our team, and I know you learned this too, was that your people rise to the occasion and they get to work. So we didn't stop. I know you didn't stop, because you guys were essential workers. We didn't stop because we just had to pivot our whole company. We had to just think completely differently. The same day, on the same day, Ulta, Nordstrom, Blue Mercury, Amazon, everyone canceled their orders, right? Brick and mortar shut down on the same day. We were just like, whoa, okay, we have to rethink everything. So what I found, Kara, was that my team was relentless And they woke up every day from all across the country. And we did everything Zoom and they just crushed it. So your people, awesome. Yeah, your people, like, also people's true colors come through, right? The people that didn't show up, that was really evident too. So I think it was sort of like the cream of the crop rises. And what I learned about our team is that like 98% of them are the cream of the crop.
Yeah. I love that. That is such a great way to explain that too.
Yeah.
When you think back on, you know, 16 years ago, when you were starting the company, somebody has a passion, they have this idea that they want to go and do it. I mean, what would you say to them? Like, what are the key things that, you know, you need to remember about jumping in to be an entrepreneur?
Okay. Like you said, you better have like such a fire in your belly and you better want to get up and do this every day. You better want to get up. And whether it's good or bad, whether it's a good day or bad day, if you want to be there, that's a good indicator. And think as big as you can. So you and I were talking before the show about how I just got to meet Leslie Blodgett, founder of Bare Minerals, who sold it 5 years ago. She was like my hero for so long.
She's amazing.
Think as big as you can. Think as big as you can. Julia, my 7-year-old, grows up in a household, both my house and my ex's house, her wonderful dad, who I'm best friends with. We both have these households where in our house, we know everyone who makes everything. So Julia drinks Hint water and she knows it's a girl named Kara who makes it. My t-shirt's from The Great. She knows it's my friend Emily who makes it. So we go to Dry Bar. It's my friend Allie who makes it. Like, dream as big as you possibly can think of and surround yourself with the people that are going to help you get there.
I love that.
No one could have ever told me I'd meet Leslie or that I'd get to talk to you. When my publicist called and was like, do you want to be on Kara Golden's podcast? I was like, did you have to beg her? Because like, do you know that I listen to that all the time?
Oh, please.
And they were like,
you're so funny.
No, it's okay. You can be on it. But, you know, so just think big and like, and I would tell people too, like, look at yourself the same way you encourage your kids. And I encourage Julia to think, you know, what anything's possible, right? Like in her world, of course, we're talking to Kara who owns Hint. Of course we go to Dry Bar and it's Allie whose wedding she's going to be in.
You have to believe in yourself.
Believe in yourself. Right? Bet on yourself, man. Yeah. Like bet on yourself. Yeah. And like, it is possible.
I totally agree. So yeah. Just a couple last questions. So first of all, talk to me about the F project.
Oh man. So this is something that I wish I could have told me 16 years ago. There were not many female founders when I started. There was Bobbi Brown. There was Leslie Blodgett. Shortly after that, like Josie Maran came into the game and a bunch of, I would say a good 5 years after, a bunch of female founders were there. You were there. But like there weren't, today we are so female founder heavy, right? Like female founders are the jam. And like, we all know that women are creating incredible things. The F Project is there to promote that and surround that. And we are just this open book. If you are part of it, you have to commit to being an open book for anybody that's in it. So if you want to text somebody that's in the F Project, you better be ready to tell them about your best or your worst day. And you can ask really blunt questions like, how's the money going? Or what happened with that product recall? What's that about? You know, and it's just this very honest space for female founders. And I love it. And had I had access to a network like that 16 years ago, I think it would have been a lot different. Because I was really, were you lonely when you started Hint? I was lonely when I started my company.
Yeah. I mean, I think like that was the thing that it was, you know, not only my first startup that I had ever created myself, I had worked for other entrepreneurial kind of companies. Yep. So I felt like I could, I think more than anything for me, it was kind of getting used to not being the most knowledgeable person in the room, because I think like that's the hard thing that when you, I'd been at America Online for 7 years and I had my, you know, game down, right? Like I knew what I was doing. I was managing a bunch of people. I was like, you know, really kind of thinking about how do I continue to grow someone else's business? But when I decided to kind of get off that train and take a little bit of a break and then ultimately go do my own company. I think that the thing that I had to get used to was not actually having all the answers. And so it was very humbling because I was just really, you know, dealing with co-packers. I also had never done a physical good, right?
Right.
I mean, you hadn't either, right?
No.
Which has, you know, all of those things. And so now it's actually, I seek to have places where I'm not the most knowledgeable in the room.
Oh, it's
right?
The best. Like,
right? And I just,
I get freaked out if I am. If I do think I'm the smartest person in the room, I don't want to be in that room.
Yeah. And I think it's really, it's sort of like counter to how people think about even, I don't know, you graduate from school and, you know, that the journey is supposed to be, you get your first job, you become a manager, you become a director, you become a VP, CEO, whatever.
Yeah.
But I think there's more and more people today that I meet that are kind of craving, or maybe they haven't focused on it yet, but they're sort of, you know, not as happy as they might want to be. And I always say to people, are you learning every single day? Because if you're not learning every single day, that could actually be the challenge. I think, you know, you're on overload learning every single day because you're an entrepreneur. But if you're not an entrepreneur and you're kind of in a, you're in a wheel, you know, within a company doing the same thing day after day, that's when you kind of stop learning. And so I think for me, that was kind of the biggest thing to get used to. And now I just crave it. And I want, you know, to be in that situation all the time. And so that's why we've done sunscreens and all kinds of other products, because I like to innovate and I like to learn all these new categories. So anyway, it's been a lot of fun doing that. So, beauty industry question, what do you think is like the biggest trends that you're seeing, and what are your predictions for, you know, 2021 and beyond?
So there are two. So it's people's focus on skincare that was born in 2020. The idea that maybe you didn't have an hour each way commute and you had extra time on your hands. Maybe you could not go get your facial. Well, you couldn't go get your facial, right? So people's focus on self-care as being not an indulgence, but an actual necessity. In beauty, that translated into skincare. So I'm someone, if you know me, I take a bubble bath every single night and sometimes in the morning and sometimes on conference calls. Like whether it's 10 minutes or 4 hours, I will literally stay in my jacuzzi tub for 4 hours. That always seemed crazy to people. Suddenly in COVID, people are like, wait, I love a bubble bath. Wait, I love a four-step skincare regime. So I think self-care and skincare are here to stay, and people have realized that it is okay to take care of yourself and that there's a lot you can do at home. So I think care at home is going to be like really important.
Critical, yeah.
Yeah. And then color. Color is going to come back. I mean, you read stuff about like the roaring 20s being a thing, but the data is so real. Every female founder I've talked to across any beauty space, color is going to win the day, because it's like almost a very visceral thing where people are literally, I don't know about you in Marin, but like here in Manhattan Beach, everyone is like out and they're smiling at each other.
Totally.
And they're so happy to be at Starbucks, or they're so happy to be at like our local, you know, restaurant. And they're expressing that through like color. And I'm really not a color wearer. That's not really my thing. I kind of have like the same makeup routine that I've always had, but the data is showing and people are showing that people are going to come out literally expressing their excitement to be out on their eyes.
It's so interesting. And I think ingredients obviously is becoming, you know, more and more critical, and people are so much more aware, you know, of ingredients and so interesting.
Yeah.
So
clean beauty is the deal, and it's here to stay. Whether it's luxury, you know, like whether it's like Bergdorf Goodman and Neiman Marcus, or whether it's CVS and Duane Reade, clean beauty, like people are aware that you are eating your cosmetics, or that your cosmetics are going all over your skin, or that you're putting them on your child. The push towards clean is never going away. It's not a trend. It's just what we're doing.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's so true. So your favorite Sarah Happ product?
Oh my gosh. I was asked this yesterday and I have an answer, and I feel like you're a mom of four, and I feel like, you know, you're not supposed to have a favorite kid, or like a favorite family member, but like I do, and it's the dream slip. So we made this dream slip. It's, I should have it really handy, but I don't. It's night cream for your lips, Kara. And it is filled with lip filling lipids and the coolest chemistry ever. And there just weren't any lip masks for like overnight, like creams, like rich, luxurious, like decadent creams for your lips that also tasted good, that were also clean and ingestible. So we put that out 3 years ago and we, honest to God, can't keep it in stock. It is running all the time at our lab. So it's my favorite. It's what I'm the most proud of. It is skincare for your lips. And the consumers are just, it just got named by like Vogue and Women's Wear Daily as like the best lip product, the best lip product, the best lip product.
Oh, that's awesome. So
I feel like I shouldn't have one, but truly it's the best one.
Oh, that's so great. Yeah. I can't wait. I have not tried that one, but I can't wait to try it.
Okay. I hope we sent it to you. If we didn't, we will.
Yes, we are definitely. So, well, thank you so much. So Sarah, where's the best place to purchase your product?
So I always try to give lots of love to our retail partners. You know, we are at Ulta, we are at Neiman Marcus, we're at Blue Mercury. Please go to sarahhapp.com though. I always forget about that. But when you go to a company's actual website, it's better for the company, right? So if you want to support, you know, female-founded brands or brands that you really connect with, go to their website. And so sarahhapp.com, I would say, go there. And I was thinking, Kara, I buy your product at Target. I really should just buy it from you. So in all frankness, the margins are better for me. You're absolutely support our retailers for sure. I'm grateful to be in Nordstrom, but go to sarahhapp.com. Helps our bottom line.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, and you probably they have everything at sarahhapp.com.
We do.
Yeah.
If we're sold out on sarahhapp.com, it means literally everyone is sold out. So yes.
Everyone's sold out. So great to know. Well, thank you so much. And I hope everybody loved this episode as much as I did. Please share it with others and go ahead on your social platforms and talk about the Sarah Happ interview on the Kara Golden Show. That would be amazing. And give Sarah 5 stars as well. Subscribe to my podcast if you haven't already. And obviously go buy Sarah Happ products and maybe with a case of Hint as well.
Yes. And get the pineapple for summer and the watermelon for summer.
It's so good, right?
So good.
And definitely pick up a copy of my book, Undaunted, especially if you're an entrepreneur or thinking about maybe becoming an entrepreneur, or you're a student who wants to really know about the entrepreneurial journey beyond Sarah's journey that she just articulated so well. I would love for you to let me know what you think once you get my book. And thank you, everybody. We're here every Monday and Wednesday, interviewing amazing people and brands. And I appreciate all of you for spending your time, and have a great rest of the week. Before we sign off, I want to talk to you about fear. People like to talk about fearless leaders, but achieving big goals isn't about fearlessness. Successful leaders recognize their fears and decide to deal with them head on in order to move forward. This is where my new book, Undaunted, comes in. This book is designed for anyone who wants to succeed in the face of fear, overcome doubts, and live a little undaunted. Order your copy today at undauntedthebook.com and learn how to look your doubts and doubters in the eye and achieve your dreams. For a limited time, you'll also receive a free case of Hint Water. Do you have a question for me or want to nominate an innovator to spotlight? Send me a tweet at Kara Golden and let me know. And if you like what you heard, please leave me a review on Apple Podcasts. You can also follow along with me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn at Kara Golden. Thanks for listening.